Grace and peace to you, the beloved community of gathered saints. You are saints, are you not? Saints and sinners, how about that? All of it in the name of Jesus the Christ. We welcome you both in person and those of you that are tuning in online on our Facebook live stream. As we begin worship on this third Sunday in Lent, we invite you to a spiritual all-you-can-eat buffet as we experience the unconditional love of God in Christ. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan, and I'm joined by our outstanding worship team and production staff to extend the unconditional love and grace of God to all. Today, so very appropriately weather-wise, is the first day of spring. Can anyone tell me the exact minute that occurs today? Who said that? Carlene, you've got it. 11:33 Eastern Daylight Time. There you go. Good for you, Carlene. You've got it. So just a little bit after the worship service, I think we should have some spontaneous celebration that spring is here. But when we woke up this morning, it looked like it had already happened. The altar flowers here are in honor of a birthday that occurs today. Lorraine Finneson's birthday is today, folks. That's okay. You can clap, Arlene. Yeah. These flowers are given by Pastor Mark and Deanne and the entire Mayflower family. And I hope we got Lorraine's colors right. Oh my, she says. All right, now, drum roll, please. Did you hear it? Beginning next Sunday, March 27th, following the worship service, as we continually monitor the COVID numbers, which are down, we will resume our time of fellowship in the Friendship Center following the service from 11:30 to noon. And at noon, we will also resume our Christian education hour. Next week, we will begin that time with something that we did once before called Ask the Pastor. You can ask anything you want as long as you are respectful. And then beginning April 3rd, the following week and running for 6 weeks, Reverend Dr. Paul Patton will begin a book study on his newly published book entitled Everyday Sabbath, How to Lead Your Dance with Media and Technology in Mindful and Meaningful Ways. That will occur for 6 weeks at 12 o'clock until 1 o'clock each time, with the exception of Easter Sunday and Mother's Day. The book is co-authored by Reverend Dr. Paul Patton and Dr. Robert Woods, Jr. We will give you the information to get the book in your hands if you'd like to be a part of that. Doesn't mean you have to be there for all 6 weeks, but it's going to be an exciting time, and that's the book. So during the fellowship time, you will enjoy light snacks, and if you choose to stay for Christian education, you will enjoy some hearty soup and crackers or bread to get you through the lunch hour. How about that? Don't forget the people of Ukraine, as we are taking a relief offering in the next few weeks. The information has been on email and also in your bulletin, so we encourage that. It's off to a good start. You may have seen the number in the email that went out this week. Remember next weekend at the University United Methodist Church in East Lansing, when Sally Potter and Relaine Stokes will be performing on Saturday evening and Sunday afternoon. Some of you are aware of that. And there's the flyer. I think there are more. You can check with Lorraine if there's any other question about that. And one more thing, we'll be hosting a Good Friday service on Friday evening, April 15th at 7 o'clock. Hope you can join us for that. And now it's time to worship God. Let us do so. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
It is great to welcome you to another service of worship. It is also exciting to welcome several new members into this fellowship of the beloved community today. On this third Sunday in Lent, during a season of sacrifice and denial, we offer an invitation for you to join us for a spiritual meal. When was the last time you went to a restaurant and ate an all-you-can-eat buffet? How much did it cost? The prophet Isaiah makes it clear that God's invitation does not include a price. No matter what season of the church calendar we are in, including Lent, God's invitation to spiritual indulgence is universal and without price. Enjoy, Mayflower. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and Lord of our journey, we have arrived again in our safe place, the sanctuary here at Mayflower Church. We ask you to help us open ourselves to the presence and inspiration of God through music, prayer, scripture, and the spoken word. We also ask you to bless those who are joining our church today as we seek to bless them too. We thank you that they have responded to our invitation to join us in the beloved community. Help us all to respond to your never-ending invitation to a spiritual, all-you-can-eat buffet offered without cost. Help us to indulge ourselves as we partake of this spiritual nurture with thanksgiving. This we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Every time I hear that tune, I have to mention that if you didn't already know, some of you have heard me say this before, that song has Michigan roots. It was first performed in a little Methodist church in Pokagon, Michigan in 1912. And the building is still there. The church has long since vacated, but that little church is not too far, or that little town, it's hardly a town. It's a blink your eye and miss it town, but it's near Decatur or Dowagiac, Michigan. If you ever get in that territory, there's a little historical sign there. The lectionary scripture today, as you've already sensed, will lead us to a spiritual all-you-can-eat buffet. And as it has been mentioned, it is given without price. So our response to God's invitation is not a payment due, but rather a love returned. Let us now worship God with the giving of all of ourselves, including our time, talents, resources, and most importantly, our love. Thanks be to God.
Praise God, come, O God, bless me.
Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, we have gathered together as we encourage to do with expectant hearts, open minds, and joyful spirits. Yet we carry heavy burdens for many things and many people, including those people in Ukraine who suffer, many of whom are fleeing and need not only our prayers but our help. The people of Russia, many of whom do not understand what is going on. And all the world's refugees, millions of them who seek safety and asylum, some in our own country. We pray that you would help us continue and recover a welcoming spirit to those who suffer in this way. Be with those victims of gun violence, a terrible blight on our society, even as we hear the awful news of the most recent mass shooting last night at a place of celebration, or at least supposed to be, a car show in Arkansas. Strengthen our resolve and our backs to carry this burden with a passion to change these atrocities and bring peace and hope to the world with the gospel message of love and peace. If nothing else, help us to set the example with our lives, our attitudes, and our actions to all those we encounter and to all those we seek to influence. Be with our new members today. Help us to pray and support them in their journeys of faith as we continue our journeys of faith. And we thank you for their uniqueness and for bringing them to us. We continue to pray gladly and accept the burdens of love and care for those in our circle of love and influence. For Jerry Moore, Marion Potts, Judy Braska, Nick Morrison, Carl Watkins, Debbie Conlin, Vance Vassallo, Irma Moss, and others we think of or mention just now. Thank you for the love and strength we receive as we pray together like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. It may seem that an open-ended invitation to indulge in a meal at someone else's expense would not be appropriate during Lent. However, God's continual offer is never withdrawn, even during a season of denial and self-sacrifice. So hear now these words. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to God, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. You like a good story? Here's one. By the time I'm much older, assuming that I will be here for more years, and I hope that's a good assumption, I will have maybe run out of all my stories, I don't know. But I have a lot of them, and here's one of them. It was Christmas vacation 22 years ago. I had spent the touring season in Seattle, then headed home to Virginia for the holidays to spend time with my teenage boys and other family members. The internet had recently opened up all kinds of travel possibilities. I had never been to New Orleans, and neither had my sons Bryce or Kyle, at that time ages 19 and 16. So I arranged a package deal on Expedia.com, and it was a good deal. Flying on Christmas Day was cheaper, so the round-trip flights from Richmond, Virginia to New Orleans, Louisiana, and a boutique hotel for three nights near the French Quarter was for the cost of $900. A good deal, right? Three people, round-trip flights, and a nice hotel. So the plane change allowed us 2 hours in Charlotte, North Carolina, where we ate lunch. As the trip continued, however, there were some unknowns that I did not anticipate as I sought every possible avenue to save money. I arranged a city bus ride from the airport in New Orleans for $2.50 instead of $40 for a limo. Now, the boys were making fun of me for that as we dragged our luggage onto the bus, city bus, and it was an interesting little ride down toward town, but I was undeterred as I sought to teach them something about the value of a dollar. But the plan backfired a little when the bus, headed near the hotel district, got no closer than 10 blocks from our hotel. And a kind gentleman looked around at us, knew where we were going, and said, "You'll need to get off here." And I saw my boys roll their eyes. Anybody ever have those kind of experiences? Well, we stepped off, luggage in tow, and we headed to the hotel 10 blocks away, and the boys were grousing about the long trek, embarrassed to look like tourists who didn't know what we were doing. Around dinner time, we finally made it to our hotel, and the boys were hungry. But I must say that I was hungry too. It was also Christmas Day. You know what's coming, don't you? Went to the front desk at the concierge and asked about restaurants which were open. Have you ever tried to find a restaurant open on Christmas Day? Even in New Orleans? Well, maybe a Chinese place, but the concierge mentioned there were none nearby. But I was relieved when she told me there was a nice restaurant in the hotel across the street, and it was open. When she told me that the restaurant was on the top floor of the hotel, I thought, oh, how nice for us to eat overlooking the city of New Orleans on a Christmas evening. Well, just before I left the desk, I thought I should ask about the price of that restaurant, and she said, well, it's a little expensive. I said, how expensive? She said, about $50 a plate. I said, Say again, please. She said, $50. Yes, she said, and she looked at me with a little bit of a sterner look and said, don't forget, it's Christmas Day. Well, I dejectedly sauntered back up to the room where the boys were anxiously awaiting what they had hoped would be good news. And I did not have good news. It was dark, getting late, and the hunger pains were increasing by the minute. The only reasonable option at that point was to walk down the street in a section of town that was, you know, didn't feel safe, and see if we could find a mini-mart or some place where we could buy some groceries. We walked a little ways, and sure enough, we did find a little mini-mart that was open. So we went in, and we picked out a loaf of bread, some bologna, cheese, mustard, and mayonnaise, again, trying to save some money. Not exactly a gourmet meal, but we thought it would do in a pinch. At least the boys were in an understanding mood until we got back to the hotel room and discovered that the bread and bologna had green mold all over it. I'm glad mealtime is a little ways away. I guess I didn't need to say that, but that's what it was. So my first thought was I was out $25 and completely out of options. Does this sound funny? Well, it was funny, and if you ask my boys, even today, they would remember this quite well. So they grumbled and groused a little before we watched some TV, before we all went to bed, all very hungry. But even on empty stomachs, teenagers love to sleep. And that gave me an advantage for an alleviation plan. I awoke around 6 o'clock, quietly and hurriedly, got dressed, then ventured out of the hotel toward the French Quarter. I saw a Friday's restaurant that was open, so I quickly went back to the hotel and reported to the boys, actually woke them up, the first bit of good news they'd had in quite a while. They bounded out of bed, quickly readied themselves, uncharacteristically, but of course they knew what was coming, and we practically ran to the restaurant. We went in, and I saw a fantastic spread of food at a buffet with every imaginable culinary delight there in plain sight. I asked the person who greeted us what the deal was there, the arrangement. She said it was an all-you-can-eat breakfast buffet, and it was $10. Now, I had seen the boys eat ravenously many times, but I never saw them consume so much food in so short a time. But I can't remember a time when I enjoyed eating a meal with my boys as much as I did then. I saw this look of grousing and complaining and grumbling turn into, thanks, Dad. Do you ever wish you got more thank yous from your adult kids? Well, it was satisfying well beyond the food that we consumed, and it set the tone for a fabulous Christmas vacation I had with them. We visited the Audubon Zoo, saw some pink flamingos. Have you ever seen the pink flamingos there? The aquarium. We took a city tour, then a swamp tour, and watched the guide feed the alligators marshmallows. And then spent time in the French Quarter, shopping, looking around, and hearing some great Dixieland jazz. And then I felt a little guilty for a couple of things that the boys saw that I thought, well, maybe they shouldn't have seen. But you know how that goes if you've ever been to the French Quarter. Well, it turned out to be a great vacation in a great city. And it all started with an all-you-can-eat buffet. And I would like to offer all of us this morning an all-you-can-eat buffet of a different kind. However, an invitation like this, as we've already had indication, seems a little out of place during the season of Lent when we are called to consider and reflect upon the sacrifice of Christ, who is the head of our church. But traditional spiritual practices of Lent are never ends in themselves. Sacrifice, fasting, penitence, and prayer are pathways to spiritual abundance. God's abundance is found when we turn away from worldly abundance. In the strictest sense of Lenten traditions, one might take a journey to contemplate our sin and sometimes our distance from God. Fasting, prayer, and sacrifice can help us along that journey. But in all of our efforts to mimic Christ's 40-day foray into the wilderness, we often miss what should be the constant focus of the church during every season, the ever-present and universal available grace of God. In the context of this prophetic invitation of Isaiah the prophet, you might think that the invitation was given to starving, thirsty masses, as if they, under any circumstances, had no money to buy anything. But ironically, this invitation was given to people who were not necessarily hungry or thirsty. So what was going on here? The people to whom Isaiah was addressing were part of a community of Jewish believers who were forced from their beloved homeland. And in their belief, it was their land that had been given to them by their God. And that made the experience of exile even more painful. Of course, the prophetic voice reminded the community of their own failures to fulfill part of God's covenant, and that they bore much responsibility for what had happened to them. But regardless, all that they knew, the familiar, the known, their routines, including the routine of worship and the community life which revolved around the temple, all had been forcibly taken away from them as they were deported to Babylon, with a ruined temple in their rearview mirror. Can you imagine? And I suppose we can't help but think about the Ukrainian refugees right now who have left everything that's familiar to them. Well, to add a little more history, the great Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar that you read about in the Bible, it was actually Nebuchadnezzar II who shattered the Egyptian army as military commander at the Battle of Carchemish in 605. Before the Common Era, and then he quickly ascended to the throne and became the king of Babylon. As king, he maneuvered brilliantly, militarily, as well as in the international political arena when Egypt, who was a world power, was diminishing. Babylon became a world power. And unfortunately, the Jews living in Judah became political pawns, and they were caught in the middle. Jerusalem was taken and then later destroyed along with their temple in 586 before the Common Era. Nebuchadnezzar was no fool, however, as he rebuilt cities and infrastructure in Babylon and used anyone he could to accomplish his goals. So when the many Jews arrived in Babylon, they did not end up as starving peasants, nor were they seen as refugees, but were assimilated into Babylonian culture and economy. They had jobs and money to spend, and they contributed greatly to the economy. But the spiritual danger expressed by the prophet to the faith community is quite relevant for us. In assessing cultural values, and I've seen some of the data on this, many researchers today indicate that Americans put a higher value on capitalism than they do on democracy. Unfortunately, many times the marketplace rules. The lure of wealth and accumulation creates distance from the kingdom of light and eats away at the notion of justice and righteousness. The marketplace, as good as it might be, can dominate our lives, our culture, our country, and even our religion. So, with a great deal of discretion and understanding, the marketplace can also have very negative consequences in the communal life of the church. Issues involving money and finance can be ruinous and devastating in congregations. It consumes time and energy for decision-making, creates disagreements, and robs church boards and committees of focusing on what is central to the gospel of Christ, loving God and loving neighbor. We then lose our ears to hear the cries of the poor and the anguish of the oppressed. And here's the irony. When a church grows, it can be more difficult to avoid the pitfalls of the marketplace. When a church is struggling to survive, everyone rallies around the motivation to save and conserve. However, when a church begins to grow, it becomes very difficult sometimes to replace that mentality and begin to ask ourselves difficult questions, such as where to invest into the fertile harvest fields of the kingdom of God. In survival mode, churches tend to save, collect, concern, conserve, maintain, store, and stash. When we get beyond survival, instead of saving, we must invest. Not for the financial gain of interest earned, which, by the way, is forbidden in Jewish law, but in people, in ministry, in outreach, and in mission, all with human need at the heart. It is then we begin to understand Isaiah's invitation to an all-you-can-eat spiritual buffet. The people returning from exile were entreated to leave the marketplace and indulge in spiritual abundance. That invitation remains in effect now, and so shall it ever. So, today, it is exciting to welcome new members into the fellowship of our church. Many of you were here in February when we welcomed Judy, Mary, and Mariana. Today, we welcome Nancy, Kay, Wendy, Bruce, and Steve. And on Easter Sunday, we will welcome at least two more, including Bill and Sue. On a purely personal level, we invite them all to an all-you-can-eat spiritual buffet of unconditional love, pastoral care, prayers, and the richest food within the fellowship of the beloved community. Conversely, all of these folks offer us a spiritual buffet when they bring their experiences, their perspectives, and their gifts to us. All these folks have much to offer. After today, and anytime new members are welcomed, our church will never be the same, nor should it be. It is important to remember, however, that anytime a person is welcomed into a different or a new church, there is some aspect of exile. Assimilation and trust takes time. Some have not had the privilege of being a part of a beloved community, at least recently. Others have had difficulty in their current community of faith. Some have looked for but not found a beloved community. Still others have had losses in their lives, which always has its own kind of exile. Some who have been at Mayflower have had our own experiences of exile, whether personal or otherwise. We have all been lured into or wandered into spiritual exile, and we have experienced spiritual dissonance. But today, responding to the invitation, we all come together out of whatever exile to incline an ear, to listen, and to flourish within the community. In the end, we, as the beloved community, invite, then join in a journey out of exile from all that the world has to offer. But in our willingness to seek forgiveness, experience forgiveness, and grant forgiveness with God and with each other, we will discover and experience the unending grace of God, which is in stark contrast to the world's thirst for wrath, power, retribution, and punishment. God is still speaking today, and even though God's ways, as was read this morning from the prophet, are higher than our ways, let me make it clear that God has shown us the higher way, the road less traveled, in Jesus the Christ. His sacrifice and love led him to a cross, which is the symbol of unconditional love, even as he forgave his tormentors. And God ensured that the cross was not the end of the story for Christ nor for us. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Now it's with great joy that I, as a pastor, and we as a congregation, welcome five blessed souls into our fellowship. And I'll ask them to lead the way here in just a second. I got it here somewhere. Hang on, folks. There we go. And now we'll have these folks stand in the front of our church, just like however you want. Come on. Now, if you have a big smiling face this morning, that'll help reduce their nervousness, okay? So I'm going to do this without a mask so they can see my smiling face represent what I know is all of your smiling faces underneath the mask. So I'll just move aside here. These people standing before you are all approved candidates to be received into full membership of the Mayflower Congregational Church. Each has demonstrated and expressed faith in Christ, their love for God, and their love for people in their own way, with their own understanding and exercising their personal conscience. Some of these people are transferring their membership from another church or tradition, and others are being received by affirmation or reaffirmation of faith. They are known to many of you and are already a part of our Mayflower family. We therefore ask one question of them while reaffirming the same question ourselves. And so I will ask them, seeking membership in this church, do you accept the religion of love and service that Jesus taught and lived? To love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. To make the Spirit of Christ dominant in your relationships. Also recognizing we all are human. We make mistakes and sometimes we need to be forgiven and to offer forgiveness when others make mistakes. Do you therefore covenant together with all the members and friends of Mayflower Church to prayerfully promote harmony, faithfulness, and unconditional love, accepting a share in its privileges and duties, and so far as you are able, God being your helper. You can respond together. Thank you. And now our response, and we'll ask the congregation to rise. And I have an apology to make here because our ones that came in February, I kind of blew it and I didn't have this moment. Some of you may remember that. So I'm going to include Mariana and Mary and where's Judy? I know Judy's over here. So I tell you what, if you don't mind, I'm going to have you three come up because I didn't include. If you don't mind, just come on up and be a part of this. Judy, Mary, and Mariana. Thanks, folks, for indulging me on a moment's notice. Have you ever seen a better-looking group? This is our new youth group, folks. First of all, as is printed, that you have, beginning with re-rejoice. We'll share that together, followed by all of us in repeating the Mayflower Church Covenant. We rejoice with each of you, and we joyfully receive you into membership and fellowship. We pledge our Christian love as you have promised us. We humbly pray to God that both you and we may be true to this covenant forever through Jesus the Christ. Amen. And now we'll repeat the Mayflower Church Covenant all together as a congregation. We are banded together as a Christian church to maintain the worship of God, to proclaim the gospel of Christ, to develop a sense of our relationship and duty to God and our fellow persons, and to be an inspiration for love, truth, and passion for righteousness and enthusiasm for service. To this end, we pledge our loyalty to Christ and covenant with each other to strive to express Christ's spirit in our individual and corporate lives, to live together as Christians, and to submit ourselves to the government of this church, working, giving, praying for its increase, its purity, its peace, and seeking in every way to make it a power for the building up of the kingdom of God. All right, we have some membership certificates that are held by our chair of deacons, Deanne McCormick, and you'll have a greeting also from our lay leader, Ruth Posh, and then I'll make the final greeting. And the congregation may be seated. Steve, what a joy. God bless you, brother. Great. Bruce, same to you. God. It's all right. And I think a round of applause would be appropriate. All right, you may return to your seats. Isn't that cool? They've all just gathered right in the front row here. My goodness. Lucky guy. Our living Lord told us that while he was here on earth, that when he left, he would leave his spirit with us. And that spirit is a unifying, binding presence that we sense even this morning as we join together with a larger family of the beloved community. Thanks be to God, and go in peace. Well, I don't think you have to be Irish to enjoy a song like that. but I'm Irish. So I guess we can claim it for our own, but one thing we're all going to claim is the love and grace of God and the one whom God has sent, Jesus, our Christ, the head of our church, who binds us together. So, if you'd like to say thanks to Kim and Jamie for their number on the trumpets today that reminded us of one of our favorite old hymns, you can do that. We got those lovely people that have joined us today. If you haven't had a chance and you're able to take a little opportunity to greet them, however it works, and then don't forget next week, we'll be streaming into the Friendship Center for a few goodies and lots of love. Go in peace, folks. That might be a good reinforcement.